smiling.
So bad, 'cause when I see you, I start trying to stop.
Peter Tork is, has been, and always will be a part of one of the most influential music groups of all time. Of course, I'm talking about the Monkees, now celebrating 50 years of business together. Peter joins us on the phone right now. Peter, it is an honor to meet you, sir.
Bill, it's a pleasure. Thanks. How are you doing?
We're both Wendy and I are fantastic.
And Wendy, you there? Wendy,
I am here. I am so here talking to like one of my heartthrobs. I know Davy Jones got a lot of the credit, and a lot of the girls were crazy for Davy, but you were
crazy for Davy too.
You were my guy, Peter.
That a girl. Thank you so much. Yeah, no, I was nuts about Davy Jones. I was all ready to have his baby.
That would have made headlines.
He was such a sweet guy, wasn't he?
He had his moments. He was. The thing about Davy is that nobody, least of all Davy, really knew what he had, how gifted he was. You know, he grew up in a very, very, I don't want to say impoverished, but it was pretty bare bones, skin of the teeth kind of a living situation in England. And he didn't have the luxuries that the rest of us had, where there was time and room for us to say, hey, I might be pretty good at this, you know. It's just that he was cute and funny, and it turns out that he was talented to an extent that nobody really understood. He was so cool. He really is my favorite monkey.
But but Peter, you could say what you just described about Davy Jones, you could say about the band themselves, is that you guys were kind of thrown together. Television was looking for an answer to the Beatles, and they threw you guys together, and then you just turned out being so good together.
We were very lucky that way. The secret was that the producers of the show, Bert Schneider and Bob Rafelson, for all of their egos, were able to bring an egoless eye, ego-free eye, to the casting process. And they didn't care that they knew we were going to be trouble. We were trouble. We had minds of our own. We were naive. We didn't know how the system worked, but that was exactly what they wanted. And they bought us the whole package, you know, talent and trouble both. And we were very lucky to survive, really. You know, this kind of thing, it's touch and go every time you turn around. You never know whether something like this is going to work, and if it does, whether it's going to last, and if it does, whether it's going to be of any value to anybody else.
Sure.
So
you mentioned Bert Schneider, and is it really true that Peter Fonda came up to you and said, I know it's Monkey's money that actually paid for Easy Rider?
It is. It is true. Peter came. I hadn't thought about it, but I could see how true it was. Certainly, Bert and Bob, you know, got a substantial. You know, the producer gets the lion's share of whatever goes on, of course, if there's anything to be had, and they banked their money, and Bert put it all behind Easy Rider, and which just goes to show the kind of vision the man had. That he actually, you know, who would have thought if you know, a bunch of bikers on a road trip and this happens and that happens and you gotta go, this can't be this can't be a very good movie, can't, and it was game changing. And all of the movies that came after it, you know, outlaw movies, outlaw gang movies, anti-hero movies, you know, it practically remade Hollywood.
Peter, let's look at the makeup of the Monkees. They had two guys, yourself and Mike Nesmith, who were classically trained musicians. They had two guys that were actors, Mickey and Davy. Was that on purpose, that mixture?
Not exactly. Well, I don't know what else could have done, but really what happened was that they saw the four of us, and I know certainly that Bert and Bob were hoping that we could do concert shows of our own as well. So if they got a couple of guys who could act, but who also had some music, and a couple of guys who were musicians who could also act, they thought they had the combination they wanted. Really have to hand it to them. I mean, who would have thought, you know, Bert said to me years and years later, it was lightning in a bottle. He had no way of knowing what he was going to get, but Mike had, I don't know that Mike had ever acted before, you know, But he'd always been ambitious to be in showbiz, and so had I, and I had acted. I was, in fact, I was the player king in Hamlet in college.
Wow,
not bad.
An Anon, he finds him striking too short at Greeks. His antique sword rebellious to his arm lies where it falls, repugnant to command.
Was that your audition piece for the monkeys?
No, it wasn't. My audition piece for the monkeys was, see that line expected children simultaneously. The doctor bothers anyone. See that we'll be three forever. And you would... Like
wow.
You know, it's so funny. My son Michael is 17 years old. He's a musician, and he was trying to school me on monkeys information this morning. I said, really, Michael? I know enough about the monkeys. And he's like, Peter plays a mean banjo. Are you still playing the banjo?
I surely am. Come to a show. Come to the show.
We are coming to the show. I have to go see you. The three remaining members of the Monkees, Peter Tork, Mickey Dolenz, Mike Nesmith. The new record is fantastic. Let me tell you where you're going to be. Genesee Theater in Waukegan. We'll send you an update so you know where to go.
November the 4th.
On November 4th.
Without that information, I'm doomed. you might not see Michael, I have to tell you. We've been out as the fans call us the Tukies because it's Mickey and me for the most part. Michael has joined us on occasion and will again.
When he feels like it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's Michael, you know. He's the Neil Young of the Monkees, really. And we just have to you know, you take him as you find him. But Mickey and I have a wonderful time. We rock out. We do some of these songs, these rocking songs, from back in the day that we've never done on tour before. From the first album, Let's Dance On, and from, I think it was like the seventh album, a thing called Steam Engine, which is a real just thrashing 50s, 60s rocker. Great stuff. So come to the show, you guys.
We will, and the new record is great, too, Good Times. I heard it, we were driving to Nashville, heard a lot of it being played, and it came out in May of this year. A lot of other artists contributed to songs as well as stuff you guys wrote. Why don't you tell us about that?
We were very lucky. We start with Adam Schlesinger, who, as you probably know, wrote a song called That Thing You Do for the Tom Hanks movie of the same name. And he just, when they told me it was going to be him, I was really pleased because I thought that the song, That Thing You Do, absolutely nailed the 60s vibe, plus not being a tired old rehash of the 60s. We tried to do an album way back when. A lot of people sent us records and songs that had no energy left. They were just rehashes of the old ideas. And this was different. We knew when we had Adam that we weren't going to get cast-offs. Anything from the 60s we did was going to be good. You know, we did, three, four songs from the 60s, in some of them in the original version, only slightly refurbished. then four, five, six, I guess, six or seven new songs, including one that Mickey wrote, a song that I wrote way back in the old days, a song Michael wrote, recent song Michael wrote, and Michael sang on another song, whose author escapes me at the moment, which he just ripped it up. He's so tender. A wonderful record. So,
and Davey's featured on it as well, correct? Davey Jones? Davey Jones is featured on a vocal recording as well.
We have an old Davey cut that Neil Diamond wrote that actually it was released way back when, but only in the very obscure time of Monkees releases. So it sounds very fresh and new, and it's very strong. And there's Davey at it being Davey, as only Davey can do. It was, and it's classic Davey. It really is wonderful. So you get a widespread, you know, and the most important thing about the album for me is that it's not two lumps, like songs from the 60s, new songs.
Yeah.
With nothing in between. It's a very smooth spread. You listen to the whole album, you can hardly tell which are the old songs, which are the new, and which were written for and which were written by others. So like that, you know, I said on stage not too long ago, and I was interested to find out that Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, who wrote She Makes Me Laugh,
mm-hmm.
that he graduated from the same high school I did.
Hmm.
Mickey said, you graduated?
Hey, Peter, I know we're, our time is limited with you. I just want to tell you this. I know it's been 50 years since the Monkees first formed, and when the TV show came on, you guys were cranking out episodes as quickly as you could to get them on TV. But there's one particular episode where your character, Peter, sells his soul to the devil to become popular. And I tell you, I still think about that episode all the time.
Do tell.
I don't know what it is about it. It's just an amazing episode.
The Faust. The Faust.
Yeah.
Peter Torg plays Faust.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. There's a couple of things about that episode which were really strong, because there is, you know, the basic message that you can't really sell your soul to the devil. It's always. It's always.
Tell Jimmy Page that.
Well, you know, you go to Keith Richards and you think he is a man
right.
who lost it, but, you know, he's like our age and he's still cranking.
Yeah.
They're going out again. Mick Jagger's going to be a dad again, for God's sake. You know, get on. So I don't think that's so satanic, you know what I mean? They say that. But there's the message that that if you think you're selling your soul to the devil, you will suffer the agonies of the bargain. But in fact, it's not possible. You can't do that. It's like, you know, for one thing, the soul is not really separate. The
sure.
It's like shine on chrome.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Yep. So the notion that there's something special about being able to reclaim your soul just because somebody's on your side, that I think is a terribly important message.
Well, you guys executed it beautifully. You really did.
Cannot wait to see you, Genesee Theater in Waukegan, November 4th. The Monkees will be there. And also, earlier, I think this June, the whole 10-disc Blu-ray collection of The Monkees, along with the 68 cult classic Head, was released. So someone's getting that for herself for Christmas.
Nice gift. Peter, an honor to meet you. Great to talk to you. We love you. We love your work. So keep going.
Thank you so much. Pleasure's mine. And incidentally, I know who's doing whom a favor here, so thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. It's Peter
Tork.
PeterTork.com, themonkees.com, and again, go see him in Waukegan. That's November the 4th.
I got to go.
It's going to be good. A quick break, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.